Colossians chapter 4.
In just a second, we will read just verses 5 and 6, look at a couple other scriptures as well, and then we'll have the invitation. The invitation will be yours, but good to see everybody out this evening. And I know we have those that are sick, several messages on the group chat of those that are sick, and we'll mention those in just a second, those that are traveling as well. But glad you can be with us, and we just need a few more numbers on this side. It seems like we're pretty well filled in here, but I hope people get feeling better soon, and appreciate you being out this evening. One of the things that I mentioned in the adult Bible class a few weeks ago, we were talking about the topic of women at the time and strong women and leaders in the home and some different things. And right at the end, we had talked about just some different ways of interacting. And I had mentioned at the time that this wasn't specific to women, but actually to kids. And I mentioned at the time that one of the things that we mention a lot with our kids these days, it seems like, is one word, and that's tone. It seems like a lot of times when they're talking to each other, either mom or dad will follow with, usually probably not in the best tone, tone, okay? Or some version of that, right? Ironically, it's usually not in the best tone, but of course the indication here is, Shelby or Noah, you should probably be using a different tone when you're talking to your sibling or to your mom or to your dad. And we indicate that by a harsher tone, okay, or some version of that. And it at least gets their attention. Now, we're reminding kids of our tone and reminding them about that because, number one, they're at the age where they're understanding the differences in that, right? Okay, we might not say that to the young ones right here on the front so much on tone, but when you come to 7 and turning 9 next week, you begin to understand, okay, we talk in different tone, okay? And one of the reasons we say that and what we're imparting upon our children is what, at least this is one soapbox I'm on these days, is I want you to treat your sibling not only like you like them, which is important, but we should be treating our siblings like we like them the most, that no matter what, we're going to defend them, we're going to talk to them, we enjoy being around them, I enjoy their company. But that should come across in everything we do, but especially in the way that we talk to each other. And that's one of the easiest things that we can do is to control the way that we talk to each other. Now, I just said that's one of the easiest things that we can do. Guess what I've struggled with almost my entire life? Tone! Okay? I already have, as I mentioned before in the Bible class, I struggle with my face and having this resting, unhappy face that I've been blessed with my entire life. But oftentimes, I've had people say, well, you just seem upset. Why would you say that? What's your tone? Ooh, man, your tone is rough. So it's something I've always had to work on. So one thing I wanted to just remind us tonight, I wasn't trying to be funny, but one of the things I wanted to remind us tonight, and I always have to remind myself is that, and it's always a work in progress, is working on our tone. And specific to what in the world does that have to do with being a Christian is the way in which we say stuff. It's not just the words that we use, but oftentimes it's the way in which we say them. And we can have the best intentions, but the way in which we say things, whether it be to each other, our fellow Christians and those that we're members of the church with, or people out in the world, that tone can matter greatly. It can make the difference between whether somebody would even accompany you to church services or want to learn more about the Bible, or even believe that you're a child of God and that you're a Christian, based sometimes on the way in which you say something and the way that you talk. So, just a few scriptures, and then the invitation will be yours. But I think it's something that hit me because I feel like I've not been doing so well with my tone these days, while meanwhile telling my kids that their tone is terrible. And so it's something, it's a reminder to me, and hopefully it's something that we can also think about maybe, you know, as we leave this place and for the rest of the week. So, verse 5 of Colossians chapter 4. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. This is really just leading into the next verse here. But walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And I think the idea here that I take away from this is that not only does it say let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, but it also clarifies, so you know how to what? Talk to each person. So this idea of not only make sure that you're gracious in the way you talk, but also think about that, right? Understand the way that you may appear. Think about the words that you use and the way in which you use them and the tone that you have. just a couple other verses that go right along with this. Ephesians chapter 4, you don't have to turn to each of these. Again, I like to use a few scriptures from time to time to go with this, as I feel like it's important here to see what the scriptures have to say about this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for what? Building up, and as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear." I think that's a great way that it's phrased there, that it may give grace to those that hear. And only such that is good for building up. And so whether we're talking to our kids about the way in which you talk to your siblings, whether we're thinking ourselves, hopefully, of the way we talk to others, we need to make sure that it comes across as not only the words that we use, but the tone in which we use them, that it's for building up and the edification of others. Again, I'm talking strictly to myself in this and making sure that I am speaking in a way, in a tone, and using words that are good for building up, not tearing down or not raising questions about what in the world is that person all about. Now, you can imagine that there's a few scriptures in Proverbs that touch on this, and that's where we'll finish. Proverbs, three scriptures. Again, they're all very short, just one verse each. But Proverbs has so many wise sayings and so many good instructions for us from day to day, you know, what really anything that we go through in our day to day lives. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Again, you don't have to turn to each of these, but I'm going to read the final three. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." I just love that. I like imagery, and it talks about basically just how beautiful it is, a word that is well spoken or fitly spoken. And then finally, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. Again, just love the way that this is phrased. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." So really the invitation tonight, or just at least the word of encouragement is let's have gracious words. Let's remember the impact that that has, how sweet that is. Sweet as a honeycomb. Let's have a tone of graciousness towards everyone that we come into contact with. That's people in the workplace, people at school, that's our fellow Christians, and that's people at home. And not only adults here, but siblings, because I say it to mine. Parents, I apologize ahead of time. I'll say it to yours too if they're listening. Kids, even if you're not mine, treat your siblings like you like them. Talk to your parents and your siblings with graciousness, with pleasant tones, like we actually like sitting with each other and being siblings. I see some smirks. I'm doing that for a reason, okay? And I can tell that you're paying attention, so that's good, siblings and kids. Parents, me, let's use good words. Let's use good tones. Let's work on that. None of that has to do with obeying the gospel, I admit, and I apologize for that. But that's things that I was thinking about tonight, the things that I think are important even to our life as Christians. But we do have the opportunity to, as a way of invitation, to offer an invitation to come forward and be baptized. If you have not yet become a child of God, you have that opportunity this evening to have heard the word and believed the word, to confess your sins, to repent of those, and to be baptized and to continue on in the faith. And a lot of us are Christians this evening that are in attendance. And if you've not been doing what you should as a Christian, and you need to confess your sins and you need for us to pray for you, you have that opportunity tonight. Or if you just want to ask for the prayers of the congregation to things that you're going through and you need us to pray for you, you can come forward and make that known if you're in any way subject to the invitation as we stand and sing the invitation song.